Well, I gave you a little bit of an introduction. Yeah, I was probably like 7 when I first met the Herrings. They only had Joshua, so I hadn't even met the girls. But yes, I've been at Conway for the last 2 years at the University of Central Arkansas. I've been an intern there, and now I'm on staff there. And the heart of Chi Alpha and what we do is discipleship. And so I spend 4 days a week on campus just getting to meet new girls. Like, you run into everybody on campus who, everybody has a similar theme of they're looking and searching for something, and they're looking to fit in, they're looking to make a name for themselves. And some people don't really know what they're looking for, they're just looking for friends. And every organization is out trying to grab as many recruits as they can to make their organization the biggest on campus or whatever. But it's like, we don't necessarily want to build a name for ourselves on the campus. We want to build the kingdom of God. And so we are there grabbing as many as we can, letting them know that the college experience doesn't have to be what the world tells you that it has to, or that it's supposed to be, but that we choose to live according to what the Word of God tells us. And wow, the light just really got very bright. Couldn't tell if it was just my eyes adjusting or what. So yeah, that's a little bit about Chi Alpha. We tell students about Jesus. We call them to discipleship as they are discipled. We then entrust them with the same anointing that God has given us, and we say, go out and go find another freshman who needs to hear about Jesus. Like, go and tell your friends and your classmates who you serve. And when they say what's your major, or like anything that is centered around your life, like, Jesus should be the first thing. And so Jesus touches every area of our lives, and so we just kind of get to spend 4 years with them showing them how that is possible. That's kind of what we do. Summing it up really quickly. So let's pray one more time before I get into the word tonight, because I don't know, I at least need it. So, and it doesn't hurt to pray. So, all right. Dear God, I just thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given me to share the things that you've laid on my heart. I know that they're not just for me, but that you have given these things to me to share with others and those around me. And so I just pray that it is not my words, but your words, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit would flow through me, that people would get beyond just the things that I say to hear your heart in this, God. So thank you. Amen. So I have a question to start off with. Has anybody started a project and still haven't finished it yet? Oh, yeah. Yes. I could probably count a few. But so this summer, I started a project, and I thought it was, like, so exciting. But at the same time, other people probably think it's kind of petty. But I wanted to keep a plant alive. It was, like, a big deal. Like, I've never really tried that hard, you know. Like, mom had flowers, so you help water them, but, you know, mom, dad, they know what they're doing, they just tell me what to do. And so I was like, you know, this summer I want to keep a little plant alive. And so I like did my homework, and I was like, what plant only survives during the summer and likes a lot of sun and doesn't require a lot of maintenance and all these things. And so I got a cute little pink petunia, and it was going great. It was blooming. It was beautiful. And then I was like, I got it home. Like, one of my roommates went with me to go pick it out at Walmart. Wow. And she was like, you are ridiculous. And I'm like, but it's so cute. And she's like, okay. And so I get it home, and I am super excited. And we have little hooks at the front of the house and to the side of the house. And I was like, where is it going to get the most sun? I don't know. It says it loves the sun. I need to put it in a place where it needs lots of sun. And so one Saturday, I just hung it up in the front of the house, and I'm just like, What? It only gets like an hour's worth of sun. Okay, well, let's move it to the side and see what happens. And even then, it doesn't get enough sun that it wants. And so I'm finding myself on days that I was home, moving it from the front of the house to the side of the house and watering it and pruning it and like trying to do all I can to keep this little plant alive. I'm like, it needs lots of sun. Where am I going to put it? If I put it in the driveway, my roommates are going to run over it. And so I was just like, I don't know what to do with this little plant. And so as time went on, I was just like, man, my cute little petunia is like becoming high maintenance. I'm like, wow, can I really do this? And so I got to thinking, I was like, okay, what could I do? I guess I could just let it die. I mean, who really cares? My roommates would probably be like, oh, well, what happened to your plant? Oh, you just let it die. Okay, whatever. But I was like weighing the cost. Should I keep trying? Should I throw it away? Should I give it away? Should I let it die? And so in my little thought process I had going on there, the Lord was teaching or making me aware of a few things about my relationship that I had with the Lord and how I interacted with him. And so these are a few little things I would like to share with you guys. And so we're going to go to James chapter 1. And so as you turn there or get it out on your phone, we call those lightsabers. Get out your sword or your lightsaber, one or the other. It's fine. So James, who is writing this book, is the brother of Jesus. And so James has grown up, the Bible that he had at the time is the book of Proverbs. And so James has grown up with the book of Proverbs and Jesus. And so we see a reflection of those two influences in his writings. And so he has short little wisdom speeches all throughout his book. And so we're going to read one of his short little wisdom speeches that he has given us. So James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." And so the first thing James talks about is to listen to the words of the Lord. And as you listen, like the Lord is beginning to start a project within you. And you know, just as you start a new project, it can be really exciting. You've looked up everything you needed to know on Pinterest or Google or YouTube. You've watched all the professionals do it on YouTube, and you're like, this can't be so hard. And so you bought all the things that you needed, and you've got a game plan, and you are so excited. And so like as we begin to listen to the words of the Lord, we can be like so excited and be like, I am motivated. I'm going to do this thing. And yes, Jesus is awesome. I'm going to do it. And so as we're listening, all these things, like the excitement gets started. And but then like buying my plant and like that was the first step to actually buying the plant. But that wasn't the project in and of itself. It wasn't done. It doesn't keep itself alive. And so we're going to read our scripture again. And so James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So James has talked about us listening to the words of the Lord, but then he also says to continue in it. He's like, it's not enough just to listen to it once. It's not enough to just read it once, but you have to continue in it. And it becomes the difference between a wishing well, or like treating your relationship with the Lord as a wishing well versus a deep well. And a wishing well is just a once and done interaction. You know, you throw a few pennies at it. It doesn't cost you a whole lot. It's like pennies are becoming kind of worthless. And so it's just like, whatever. I'll just throw in a few and it's fine. And wishing wells look beautiful from the outside, but they're also very shallow. And you have short-term interactions, and you're just going to the Lord once, saying, "Hey God, what do I do in this situation? Hey God, what do I major in? Hey God, what do I need to talk about in life group tonight?" Quick answer, and then you're gone. And it's like, "Okay, God, thanks. I'll talk to you later." Yeah, and so, but the Lord, James is not talking about us continuing in that kind of a lifestyle and that kind of a relationship with the Lord, but he's talking about a deep well and finding, like, to look intently into the perfect law that brings freedom is digging a deeper well. And digging a deep well, I don't know if anybody has done it. I've heard stories, haven't done it myself, but it takes a long time, and it's a lot of hard work. Like, you'll have lots of blood, sweat, and tears over it. And because sometimes you have to go miles to finally find water, like, because it takes a long time for a result. And I found myself in my relationship with the Lord of, like, once he started a project and I'm, you know, super excited and I start continuing in it, and then I'm like, "Oh, this is getting so hard. I think I'll quit." You know, I'm like, it's just so frustrating. It's so much easier to build a wishing well. It doesn't go very deep, and it looks great on the outside. But then the Lord's like, "No, I want you to press in. I want you to push farther, even when it does get hard. And I want you to cultivate that deeper well." And so let's, you have a choice in that of, like, you can quit at any point. I mean, if I picked up painting tomorrow and quit the next day, never practiced again, I don't think anybody's feelings would be hurt. I really don't. And not very many people care that I just let my plant die. It's not dead. Not dead yet. It's not liking the heat, but it's not dead yet. But most people wouldn't really care if I just was like, "This is too hard. I'm just going to let it die. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to quit." And so no one honestly is going to die over that. And so I have a choice to press in, to continue in it, or I can give up. And so let's read our scripture one more time. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So James has talked about listening to the word of God, continuing in it. But then he's also saying, don't just, like, continue to stare intently at the perfect law, but actually do it, actually live by it, and see it to completion. I'm like, for me, I know I've probably spent more time in my relationship with the Lord being more forgetful than I am being faithful. And the Lord is asking us to be faithful even when it is really hard, when he's asking us to dig a deeper well, to not be satisfied with that wishing well, and that we are to continue doing it even when it gets hard and be faithful in it. Allow the Lord to continue to complete the things that he has started within you, that he's started projects, we can continue in them, but it's our choice if we were going to let the Lord see it to completion within us. It takes hard work to dig a deep well, to spend time cultivating that relationship with the Lord. But if we do spend that time digging that well it will provide us a long-term resource. You don't just immediately after a few uses run out of water in the well, but the water will quickly dry up and fade away in a wishing well. But in a deep well, it will be even in seasons of like the beginning stages of a drought, you will still have water to retrieve from because it's much farther down than just surface level. So be faithful, not forgetful in the things that the Lord is asking you and wanting to cultivate within you and to finish that project within you. So as response, I have a few questions for you. It's not a typical altar call, but I want to give time to allow you to sit before the Lord with these few questions. At the beginning, did you have every intention of digging a well? And then as the work got hard, did you decide to settle for a wishing well? Are the projects that the Lord has started in you and it's turned to feeling more like a responsibility and an obligation, so you quit? Did you stop caring about what the Lord wanted to produce inside of you? As you listen to the Lord, He has started a good thing within you. Let Him go deeper. Allow Him to finish what He has started. Even if it takes your whole life, be faithful to continue in it. Let the Lord dig deeper. He is faithful to complete what He has started. Let Him produce good things inside of you by doing what His word says to do. Allow yourselves to be challenged by the word. Don't give up just because it gets harder than you thought it would be.